Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, connecting you to a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for joining us today. You can subscribe to keep up to date with us. Did you know you can also join our service each Sunday via a live online meeting? Please get in touch to find out more about that. But for now, we pray you enjoy what God has in store for you in this episode and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, welcome.
Good morning and welcome to Hawley Baptist Church to the podcast. My name is Sue.
I'm Anna.
And we welcome you to this podcast, really. So this weekend, we are celebrating 10 years in this building, which is fantastic,
wow.
Actually. I've been here a lot longer than you.
Yes.
And just seeing the building just grow in those, well, prior to us coming in, but
it's amazing.
Since that has been fantastic, yeah. Actually. So we've been celebrating. Actually, I think we had a barn dance a couple of days ago with a barbecue,
yeah,
which was good fun. But this weekend we're actually welcoming back Russell Braun, who was the pastor of this church 10 years ago. So he was here when it first opened. So it's really exciting to have him back here.
No, great. So Russell's going to be speaking to us today and starting our new month, so our new sermon series, which is called Rebuilding More Than Walls. And this week, the title of the sermon is A Burden Worth Carrying. So it's focusing on Nehemiah. Today will be chapter one. So I guess I think from what I can say from looking at what we're going to be looking at is, are we willing to carry a burden,
yes,
I guess, for change,
and
maybe?
And what that burden is as
yeah.
well, actually. It's looking beyond, I think it's all about looking beyond ourselves, actually.
Yes.
So let's just see what the sermon series is about, and we'll follow into the sermon following that.
Nehemiah was a man who saw the brokenness of his city and refused to look away. His journey of prayer, courage, opposition and teamwork shows us that God is still in the business of rebuilding lives, communities, and hope. This reading is based on Nehemiah chapter 1 to 2, verse 8. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, he was in the citadel of Susa when his brother Hanani arrived from Judah with others. Nehemiah asked them about the people and about Jerusalem. They said, "Those who survived the exile are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When Nehemiah heard this, he sat down and wept. For days he mourned, fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. He confessed the sins of his people and of his own family. And he prayed, "Lord, let your ear be attentive. Remember your promise. If we return to you, you will gather us. Give your servants success today as I go to the king." Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king. In the month of Nisan, he brought wine to King Artaxerxes. The king asked, "Why is your face sad when you are not ill?" Nehemiah was afraid, but said, "Why should I not be sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said, "What is it you want?" Nehemiah prayed silently, then answered, "If it pleases the king, send me to the city in Judah so that I can rebuild it." The king agreed. And when Nehemiah asked for letters of safe passage and timber from the royal forest, the king granted him everything he asked, because the gracious hand of God was upon him.
And it's good to be with you this morning. I've done this sort of thing hundreds of times. You would not believe how nervous I feel this morning. Really nervous. So I'm going to do a preamble, which is really just to settle my nerves, actually. I was on the bus going into Canterbury. I was going in for my shift as a volunteer at the cathedral there. And my phone rang. I hate answering my phone in public. I hate answering it on public transport. But I looked at it and it's Martin. And I thought, oh, I wonder if somebody's died. And so I answered it, said, "Hello." And Martin said, "Oh, hello. I've got a favour to ask." I said, "Someone has died." But then he said, "Would you like to come and preach?" Caught me on the back foot completely. So I said, yes. And so here I am. But it's great. 10 years. I mean, look at those photos. My goodness. It doesn't seem that long ago, but we've changed a bit since then, haven't we? But anyway, here we are, beginning Nehemiah, beginning a new series. Hold on a sec. Hang on, no, should have done that. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Right. Beginning a new series. And actually, the church pretty much looked like that from above when it was being built. Coinciding with this launch of the Beacon Project, not phase two, the Beacon Project. And the beginnings of that predate my ministry here at Hawley. It was rolling when I came, and nothing was actually on the ground, but it was rolling, and there'd been various stages before then. But, and I think Martin will underline this, Nehemiah, it's more than rebuilding or building walls. It is about laying foundations for the future, for the kingdom of God. Let me quote from the vision that Martin has set out. It's a vision to see lives changed, hope restored, and our town renewed through the coming of God's kingdom. Rebuilding more than walls, laying more than just a foundation, but a building for lasting impact. And we've all got a part to play. Don't know what I've done there. That's it. That's what I want. Yeah, I'll leave it to you. I think it's probably easier. That's what I want. So laying the foundations is more than extending this building here and getting that auditorium. It's far deeper than that and far more important. It's about being moved with compassion for the society around us, a society that is stumbling around at the moment and needs the love and the grace and the hope and the future that Jesus Christ can give. It's about us turning to God in repentance for the failures of the Christian church. You'll see how that is reflected in Nehemiah's prayer. But for us, it's about the failures of the Christian church in society. It's about learning how to pray. And that's not the chocolate machine approach, where you put your money in and out comes the prayer answer of your choice, but really learning how to pray as Nehemiah did. It's having that discipline rooted in the scriptures, that discipline of prayer and following Jesus that you see in the example of Nehemiah. And it's about stepping out of our comfort zones, maybe stepping out of our traditions. Even HBC has traditions. You know, we often think we don't. We think, oh no, we're really up to speed. Everyone develops their own traditions in one way or another. Now, if you want to doze off for the next 20 minutes, that pretty much summarizes what I'm going to say. You can go to sleep. However, if you really want to engage with this vision that is laid out before you, you need to understand something about Nehemiah, about where he's coming from, and about the context of this passage that has been read. Do read that chapter one so you get the full understanding of Nehemiah's depth of feeling for the people back home, the depth of his prayer for the future, and the trembling of stepping out into that future. And this future that Nehemiah is looking towards is not about Zionism, and it's not about just rebuilding walls. It's far deeper, which his prayer of substance shows as he looks towards the danger, as we'll find out, the real danger in stepping out of his comfort zone. So let's set the scene. It's next picture on, Steve. It was the same as the first one. And here we are. Israel, Judah, the nation, they are nothing, absolutely nothing. They are devastated. There's a rump, there's a remnant in the rubble back home. About a century and a half before Nehemiah, Nebuchadnezzar has come along and totally destroyed everything. Anybody who was important and who had prospects was taken off to Babylon. those who have no interest whatsoever were left behind. Everything that they knew had been removed and destroyed, including the temple. He went about incorporating the beautiful and the intelligent into his court. Read Daniel, and you'll see that. And Nehemiah is a descendant of those people. When he weeps for Jerusalem, he's a descendant of that history. The descendant, he's now works for the Persians, who are the successors of the Babylonians. And the throwaway comment that comes at the end of chapter 1, "I was cupbearer to the king," belies the importance of the position he finds himself in right now. Because as cupbearer, he's the last line of defense for this despot. And Artaxerxes is a despot. He's the last line of defense as the cupbearer against anyone who might want to assassinate him. A lot of trust is placed in Nehemiah. He's been placed in this key position. He's got a vested interest as well, because he's got to make sure it's not poisoned. He doesn't want to be in that position. And Nehemiah, he's here, ready for this time. Ready as this remnant report that everything is just not going the way it should. And they are oppressed. One other thing you need to understand is this is a third stage. You're in the beacon stage, not phase two, beacon stage. Number of stages beforehand. This is the third stage for Jerusalem. Ezra and Nehemiah, it's all one book really, actually. Read the whole thing and that gives you the big picture. So Zerubbabel has been sent a good few years beforehand. Ezra has been sent, and now it's Nehemiah's turn to carry on the work that has got to be done. And to be honest, it's not a cheerful prospect. Your prospect is much brighter. It's much more cheerful. Nehemiah's really wasn't. And he is broken-hearted. Broken-hearted about these reports he's hearing, the things that are happening. And it's got nothing to do with the original destruction whatsoever. That's old news. That's ancient history. It's the fact that there has been a lot of wasted effort rebuilding only for it to be destroyed. And it's his boss, Artaxerxes, who he's got to approach, who's been the cause of that. It's left the people vulnerable. They're vulnerable. Actually, it means, well, why not complete the job then? This nation, that, let's face it, have been a right pain in the neck for this empire. Let's just eradicate it completely. They're vulnerable. But above all, he sees the reproach that there is on God, on Yahweh, the name they would not pronounce, so they just breathed the name of God. The fact that they'd been deported and they were abandoned didn't revoke the covenant, the promise of God to these people. They had strayed and they knew the consequences of straying, but the covenant of God was still there. And the grace of God is shown in the fact that he is calling Nehemiah, the next person in the stage of restoration, to build physically, but spiritually as well. Nehemiah, as a Jew, lived with the fact that the society around him, the court he served in, considered God conquered. Didn't have to worry about that anymore. They were more powerful. What was it that broke Nehemiah's heart? It was all of those things together. But above all, I would think, it's that reproach on God, on Yahweh. And this pagan nation crowing in so many ways. Jump to 21st century in HBC. You're not in that position, all right? As you know, things are going really, really well. And we really praise God for that. And it's great to come back on this occasion. See familiar faces, but actually I'm thinking there's a lot of people I don't know here. And I guess second service is going to be exactly the same thing. But Britain is far from a happy place. Maybe even Hawley is far from a happy place. And in spite of the encouraging report from the Bible Society, it's still a little dent on impacting our society, because our society no longer knows the basis on which it stands, what it believes, what it stands for. It's a society that needs that hope, that love, that grace, that future of the Lord Jesus Christ that can only be found in him. And the church, you, me, we're tasked with bringing that to where we live. Grow where you're planted is an old cliche, but you are planted here, and this is where you grow, and this is where you share the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. And this vision clearly sets out there is more to this than just building walls. It is laying deeper foundations for the kingdom of God. So is it the hopelessness, the indifference, the materialism, the constantly chasing after different gods that breaks your heart to move forward in this way, laying down these foundations, not just for walls, but for the future of the kingdom of God? In fact, is there a personal call here to each one of us, me as well, where I'm planted? Each one of us, a personal call for a renewed commitment or a new commitment to closely following Jesus Christ. To use a jargon term, to be a disciple, to be a learner, hanging on his coattails and picking up that wisdom, and to have him change us as we go forward and follow him in Hawley. And where do you spend most of your time? You spend most of your time amongst your neighbours, your family, your friends, in the community here, your work colleagues. So is it a time for us to show renewed commitment to being those followers of Jesus where we find ourselves in the week? So that really this beacon of light that shines out from here and is dispersed in the week really does shine out to the community in Hawley and bears fruit for the gospel. They're difficult questions. They need to be asked. We need to ask ourselves those questions, particularly as you step out on this next stage of the Beacon Project and look to the future. So Nehemiah is brokenhearted. What does he do? He prays. Well, what a waste of time. What help is that to the people back in Jerusalem? When I was a young teacher in St. Paul's Cray in Kent, a more mature teacher came into the staff room one morning and said, well, would you believe they've got a new minister? And do you know what he's done? He's calling us to pray. Pray. I don't want to be sitting round saying airy fairy words. I want to be doing something. I want some action. I'm not bothering with that. Well, I was a young teacher. I wasn't going to say anything, was I? You know, I'm new in the staff room. I was also a pious evangelical. And I thought, she's not a real Christian. True, honest. I have learned differently since then. All right, okay. I have grown up a bit since then. Because to be honest, I've been lots of airy fairy, lots of spiritual words, empty prayer meetings. We go away patting ourselves on the back, you know, oh, we've done well there. If prayer doesn't lead to action, it does tend to be a bit empty. If prayer doesn't deepen our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a bit empty. We don't want hot air. Nehemiah prays, and he prays from the depth of his soul, and he prays from the depths of his faith, because he is rooted. He may be serving a pagan king. He may be in a pagan court and sometimes feel utterly compromised, but he still remains faithful, and he lives out his faith. And his approach to prayer is definitely not the chocolate machine approach. It is a deep-rooted prayer life. What we heard this morning, that summary that was read this morning, when you read the passage here, it's the culmination. He's heard about the agony, the misery of the people, and he prays. And this prayer, it seems, is the culmination. After 4 months, he comes and we get this prayer. He doesn't think, okay, we've got to do something, knee-jerk reaction, I'll go and speak to the king. Apart from the fact, it wouldn't have got anywhere. He prays. And there's that sense that he is struggling with God over the plight of the people, his people, God's people. And how do we deal with this? How do we move forward? These are supposed to be the chosen people. And look at the state of things. His prayer is someone who knows his faith and has lived that faith in the reality of life, not in some little bubble, but actually in the reality of life. He's more than a descendant of Jewish exiles. He is a living follower of the living God, the Lord of heaven and earth. Now, you may think being a Christian in the 21st century is tough. To be honest, in Britain, it really isn't. You know, I do smile behind my hand when people talk about, oh, it's so difficult being a Christian in Britain today. I've worked with people, and you know people, who have come from countries where to be a follower of Christ threatens your life. There was someone at my last church who had come from a particular country I won't name, and this chap I should just call X. He came one Sunday morning, said, I want to be baptized. I'm going to go back home. And we talked about this. And I said, you know the implications of going back home. They know that you are of this faith. When you go back home and you're declaring you're of this faith, you know the implications. Sister pleaded with him, don't go home. I'm going back home. Goes back home and he lives out boldly as a Christian. Goes to prayer meetings, tells his friends. He is harassed. He is arrested. He is beaten. He's followed. He comes to Britain for a respite period, fully intending to go back. And his friends say, your flat's been raided. They will pick you up as soon as you land. You cannot return home. That is the reality of persecution. Nehemiah is in a very challenging position as cupbearer to the king, as he lives out his faith. And when he takes that step of faith, we're going to talk about that in a minute, you'll realize why. But he prays from the depths of his understanding. And it's a confident prayer because he knows God and he knows that this is not something that is fleeting. This is something for the future, something to last. Now, there are important elements to this prayer, so do read it. Do read what it says. And at the beginning, he acknowledges the power, the authority, the majesty of God. And this isn't just buttering God up before I bring my request. It's not like dealing with a politician or a celebrity. You have to massage their egos. He knows God. He knows the power of God. And he knows the power of God in his life. He comes confidently in his declaration, in his confession, his deep-hearted confession before God and his request, because he has already been walking with God along this path. He's regular. He is persistent in prayer. Verse 6. Let your ears be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. He accepts the corporate responsibility for the fact that the covenant has been broken on their part. It holds firm on God's part. And he accepts that responsibility as being part of that corporately. You know, we might want to say, oh, the problems of the church are not our problems because we're HBC. We are the church as far as anybody else is concerned. And we accept that and we confess before God. And then that is the foundation on which he steps out and he acts. He becomes a Moses-type figure standing before Pharaoh or standing in the gap before God, as he stands before God for the nation, as he stands in the gap before Artaxerxes. And then he brings his specific request, a very confident request, because ultimately he wants to overcome the reproach on Yahweh. And the obvious question is, what place does prayer have for you here at HBC as you move forward and you follow this vision that has been laid out before you? And I'm not talking about more prayer meetings. I know you've got regular prayer meetings, and that is actually what was needed, isn't it? I'm not talking about multiplying and multiplying prayer meetings. I'm not even talking about a night of prayer. Sometimes people do those thinking, oh, well, God will really listen because I've stayed up all night. Try and avoid those. Actually, I do remember doing 24 hours of prayer, and I think I was the only one here at 2 o'clock. It's actually having that disciplined commitment to prayer in our worship, in our church life, in our personal lives. And that is a challenge. Read Nehemiah's prayer. But we need it if we're going to look to the leading of the Holy Spirit as we move forward. We can come confidently into the presence of God our Father because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We've sung about that this morning. And it's more than a song, as the song goes. It is more than a song. It is far deeper than a song because it is planted in our lives. Our prayer focus is bigger than a building. It's advancing the kingdom of God in the place you're planted, and you're planted here. So in praying for the kingdom, we focus on specific needs of Hawley, but we focus on the needs of our wider society. We focus on the needs further afield, not just here, because it's all to do with the kingdom of God. And we stand firm on that new covenant in Jesus Christ, because that is the basis on which we step forward, to let your light shine before others so that they will see the good you do and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And this is where the prayer focus and the prayer meetings differ from the sort that teacher was talking about, because they'll be rooted in your faith and you will step out following the Holy Spirit. And Nehemiah is taking a huge step here. He's taking such a big step. He is really stepping out of his comfort zone as he looks for the opportunity to speak to this despot. I've explained the importance of his position, and you need to realize that Artaxerxes, like all despots, would have no qualms if he really got fed up with Nehemiah, executioner. And that is actually true. Fed up with him. Don't want him around anymore. Being sad, he talks about being sad in the king's presence. You know, that's not good. Despots don't like that because there's a reason. What is the reason? Well, if he's not happy in my employment, why not? What's upset him? Is he disaffected? Is he plotting? You know, they're a bit paranoid. Is there something going on underneath that I don't know about? Don't be fooled by Nehemiah's gentle words. Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. That sounds quite gentle. Why are you so sad when you're not ill? Could be sadness of heart. Think how it might have been said. And does that mean you are now a threat to me? Well, I might as well deal with that threat now and get it over and done with. He's about to plead the cause of a nation that has been a real pain to this empire. And already Artaxerxes has had reports, false reports, but reports, that they're going to cause a problem building those walls. What are you doing? Letting them do it. And said, okay, deal with it. So he's going to the boss who's actually said, I want that stopped. So don't be deceived about the real danger as he steps out of his comfort zone. but he shows tact, he shows diplomacy, he shows boldness, and he stands firm on his faith in God. And having stepped out, he doesn't pull his punches. He says, okay, in for a penny, in for a pound, here we go. And he lays out what is needed for the task. I pray to the God of heaven, and then I ask the king, answer the king. Of course, that prayer would have been, God help me, and then off he goes. He's done the hard work of prayer already. Don't rely on the God help me prayers if you've not done the hard work beforehand. And there comes a time when we have to step out into the unknown as followers of Jesus Christ, both individually, but also as the body of HBC or anywhere else. If we're going to advance the kingdom in the place where we live, we can't stay within the comfort of our walls or the comfort of the things we do or even the comfort of our fellowship. And I know that's not what you want to do. As a church, I've been involved in moderating for a church, and they've called a minister, and he was at a church that had a big housing estate going up around it, and they were a reasonably smallish Baptist church. Didn't want anything to do with that housing estate because they might have to change, and they liked their group. And I know that you are not like that. But you're still stepping out of your comfort zone. It'd be far easier to stick with what you know and just carry on as you are. And I know building projects can be disconcerting and frightening. I don't know why Neil's going through it all again, really. I mean, or anybody else, Brian. They can be frightening, disconcerting. And certainly, you know, you're meeting with people like, well, I've got a clue what he's talking about, but I hope he knows. But if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, if you are learners of him all along the way, then we pray God will grant you success. And it is only in stepping out that our faith is tested. It's only stepping out as we've confidently laid those foundations that we can be confident in going forward. When Nehemiah spoke to the despot, he had no way of knowing quite how to respond. If you're an aide of Donald Trump and you fall out with him, you know the worst that's going to happen is you're going to be sacked and he's going to say something nasty on social media. Well, so what? If you're an aide of President Putin and you fall out with him, and Nehemiah was in that situation, the Persians had horrible ways of disposing of people, really horrible ways. And he knew what he was risking. But you're not alone. You're not standing there in front of the despot. You are the body of Christ. And you step out in the strength of the Holy Spirit. So as I draw to a close, I've forgotten about this, actually. Right, here's the questions that I want to leave with you. Are you brokenhearted about the need of people in Hawley to enter the kingdom of God? Are you prepared to lay the foundations of discipleship and prayer, following Jesus, being learners of Jesus? And are you prepared to step out of your comfort zone personally and as the body of Christ for lasting impact here in Hawley? And this is the challenge of Nehemiah. It's the challenge that you face. Amen.
Wow.
That was quite powerful, actually.
That was a very powerful sermon, yeah. I think there's a lot to take from that, isn't there, Sue?
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
So back to the questions, actually. I don't think we'll necessarily focus on the particular questions because I think we can just sort of cover everything.
Yeah.
But
I think Russell, we took out some key points.
Definitely. And Russell was very, recognizing actually the situation with Nehemiah and applying it to ourselves,
to us now here, where, like he said, where we're planted.
Exactly.
You know, we're here in the 21st century. We are planted in Hawley.
Exactly.
What can we give as Nehemiah did back then?
So, yes. Yeah. Yes. So and he's saying that Nehemiah actually saw the need where he was. So do we need to see that need?
Yeah, he recognised.
Where we are, that brokenness.
The brokenness. Thing.
Sorry, I keep looking at notes.
No, that's fine. Have a look at the notes.
Actually.
And I guess it covers as well, like we're saying about, we're not just thinking of us in Hawley as, you know, as the, our small church community yeah. here. We're looking at our Hawley community, but yes. also our whole society
yeah.
and our whole nation, really.
Yeah.
You know, what the brokenness that there is,
yeah.
you know, I think all of us can see currently the amount of brokenness exactly. there is around.
Exactly. And people yeah. trying to survive in that, really, yeah. isn't it? But I think the big thing is, we're responsible for laying those foundations
yeah.
for building God's kingdom, actually. So it's all about our relationship, our discipline, our prayer life,
yeah,
our stepping out.
Yes.
To,
yeah.
to build that kingdom, actually. But as you said, it's that we are planted here.
Yeah, I think that.
And I think that's quite a good analogy, because actually yeah. plants dig
deep and grow
exactly.
and spread.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think, yeah, I mean, as a church, I think we've already... They were talking about stepping out of your comfort zone, isn't it? Like mm. having that deep rooted prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you know, having that connection with God and that relationship with Jesus and praying
yeah.
to then being able to step out with the Holy Spirit into mm. out of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really point I took from what that's Russell nice. Was saying, you know, but as a church, we've done that already.
Yes.
Because I think, you know, in February, we went to two services.
Yes,
it yeah.
was, I think it was.
So
yeah.
that was a big thing, I remember, yeah. when we were sort of planning that.
Mm.
And it was a real thing, like, should we do this? Should we yeah. not? Is this what God's leading us to do? Mm. But we did it. And actually, we can see,
yes,
you know.
Bearing fruit, I think.
That, yeah, it? Our community Definitely. Is growing, our church community is growing, but also yeah. outside, we were talking, weren't we, about, you know, we go out into the community, we do activities, and that's,
yeah,
it's bringing people closest to us.
Exactly. Exactly.
And through that, we bring them closer to God. Exactly. And I think,
yeah.
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 It's so, yeah, rebuilding, not just our building. We're focusing on that as yes. well, aren't we, this yeah. month, about building our next project, Beacon project. But also.
And he said, isn't it? It's not about the walls, isn't
no.
it? It's actually building those lives
yeah.
within the walls, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think we have to. Not change, but actually I think we can be very short-sighted in the things that we see, but actually I think feeling that compassion for people out there,
yeah.
actually, and I think we can look after, I mean, I think it's important to look after people within the church, but actually
yeah.
we have to step out and actually be there yeah. for the other people and just take God in
yeah.
into those lives.
And I guess one of the questions actually. About what, you know, what are you brokenhearted about? Think for me is that lack of compassion in society
yeah.
for people.
Yeah.
That's something that really gets
yeah.
me. It's like, you know, people can be so surface and just be like, well, we don't have a relationship with that person or that
exactly.
person. But actually, if you look, everyone, you treat everyone with compassion, mm. whatever differences you have, mm. I think, you know, that's for me is what I would like to see expanding out,
Definitely.
You know, as, but then looking at how we do that, you know, that's
yeah.
where there's the big step out it comes from, isn't
yes.
it? How do we make that difference?
Yeah.
But through prayer life.
Definitely.
Definitely. I think it's,
yeah.
Russell's yeah. right. You've got to build that prayer life in every step of life.
Yeah.
You know, not just in church, but.
And it's praying with commitment and with.
Yeah.
Depth. Actually building that.
And
as Russell's saying, it's actually, it's not a list of prayers, it's not a list of requests, it's actually
yeah.
just recognizing who God is,
yeah.
the power of God,
yes.
the awesomeness of God, the omnipotence,
yes,
absolutely everything. And when I think when you get an understanding of that
yeah.
and recognize how small
yeah.
we are,
yeah,
actually we're actually not being asked to do that much.
No.
But it is scary. And Yeah, Russell did say,
yeah.
our lives aren't difficult.
No.
They're really not.
Not
as
when
Christians.
You think about it as we are in Britain.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we, you know, our Christian life isn't,
yeah.
you know, we can live our Christian life,
yeah.
can't we, openly. And I think that is,
yeah.
that's powerful though. We have that ability to then do more.
Yes.
Don't we?
Oh, definitely.
Then,
yeah.
you know, we should make that worth it.
Mm.
And are we? I don't know.
That's the big thing, isn't it? I think I'm going to be honest. I don't necessarily tell everyone that I go to church, that I'm a Christian.
Yeah. Sometimes it's really hard to start those conversations, isn't it? I think
actually.
You know, I know with me at work, it's really hard to sometimes make those steps out.
Yeah. And
actually, an example this week, actually, I was on a school trip with my granddaughter, and one of the little girls were in a group, and she said to me, "Are you a Christian?"
Oh, really?
And it was really sweet. This little girl just said to me, "Are you a Christian?" I don't know if she'd seen my tattoos or something.
Right.
And I was like, "Yes, I am." And it was just really just that innocent question from an 8-year-old. And it was just, you know, it was really nice that she's got that openness and that inquiry that opened up that conversation from a child. And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think we need to do that more with the, you know, with everyone we're sort of meeting around and not being scared to maybe, like Russell said, have that Holy Spirit to lead us out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think reality is if you have discipline in your prayer life, discipline in your life generally, actually, people should see the difference.
Definitely. And hopefully we can reach out and
bring
the kingdom of God to everyone, community and
society.
And hopefully we see that lives changing.
Yes.
You know, which.
And I think actually that last, well, that point that Russell shared about the big estate being built around the church, we've got to be seen to be welcoming.
Yes.
Or you don't close doors.
You can't.
You don't.
No. We're part of the community we need to make the community know that we're for them.
Yeah.
You know, we're not shutting those doors in their faces. That's, you know, we're welcoming them.
Yeah.
I think, definitely. Wow, lots to think about.
There is a lot to think about. I think we could talk for ages, actually.
Yeah.
I was thinking, actually, are you brokenhearted? And I think... honestly, it's hard to say that you are. I think, but actually, that discipline in prayer would not break your heart, but it would sort of open your eyes to see what's out there and what
give
we
you
need
that
to
depth
do.
Of understanding, and then that
definitely
relationship with God.
Definitely.
Wow.
Anyway,
we should probably stop.
Yes, I think we should actually, but I think there's certainly a lot more thought in that sermon, actually. So if you do have any questions, you can always email into the church. We've got questions at hornbaptist.org.uk. But I think definitely encouraged to carry on with the rest of the series,
I'm excited, actually.
To come back to us just to see what more there is about building that kingdom, actually.
Yeah. And as a church, we're actually doing a reading plan for the whole month as well. And I'm sure if you email... questions, they'd be able to send that reading plan to you.
Definitely.
If you want to follow along with us.
All right.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And look forward to seeing you again in the future.
Bye-bye.
That is it for today's episode. Well done for joining us and making it here to the end. Hopefully you feel slightly encouraged at least, or that you want to follow Jesus just that little bit more closely. You can join us in the room on a Sunday, but if that's too big of a next step for you, did you know you could also join us online for a video feed to one of our morning services? Do get in contact with us if you'd like to find out how you can do that. If you've got any questions about what you've heard today or about anything that's to do with following Jesus and just church lives, things we might be able to help you with, we've got an email address just for you. It's gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you there. Don't forget to share this. If you've enjoyed it, somebody else might do too. Share it with your friends. If you want to keep up to date with all that we do, hit that subscribe button to maintain that link with us and all that we produce. You can find it as well, links to these different things, on hawleybaptist.org.uk/media as well. Thank you for joining us again. We pray God blesses you, and we will look forward to you joining us next time.